Turning our attentions now to all things cultural, we enter the world of Culturephile, presented by Luke Clancy.
In Ireland back in the day, there was a clear order of importance for household chores. Firstly, there were the potatoes to nurture and cosset. Secondly, the children had to be scrubbed or peeled. But then attention was to be given to the seaweed. Over the years, the order of things has changed a bit, and pasta and box sets have been added to our duties. But seaweed, until recently, had dropped off the domestic hit list. Sally McKenna, food guide producer and mother of 1,000 cats, cast iron plaques, is one of those luring us back to the shoreline. She lured Culturephile's Caroline Hennessy to a windy beach in West Cork for a scramble over the rocks in search of charismatic and tasty macroalgae.
If you're going right out there, it's best to let somebody know where you are and bring a phone, and better to go, you know, go with a friend. So it's a wild terrain, so be careful.
Treat it with respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the edge of anything is always a very interesting place. I mean, if you have the place where the forest meets meadow, it's actually a wonderful place for butterflies. And if you have, say, we're in the verges of a road, it used to be the practice of farmers in Ireland that they would deliberately let the cows walk down the roads for the express purpose of self-medicating on the little plants that grew only in that space. The edge of anything is always a place full of biodiversity, with plants and animals that actually they fight two environments, and they're all the stronger for it. I mean, if you think of the edge of a pot of jam where mould grows, where oxygen is introduced, or the edge of vinegar where you get the mother, which is actually what makes the vinegar in the first place. It's a fascinating area wherever you find an edge, and what could be more of a dramatic edge than where land meets sea? And that's the home of this extraordinary plant, extraordinary species that only grows in this environment. It's an algae. It's seaweed, and it's the oldest thing on the planet. There are seaweed fossils that are 1.2 billion years old. It predates man, it predates plants. It is literally the oldest form of life, and it has changed relatively little, and it's fascinating.
You can just get an inkling of it, so if you just take a...
Okay, so it's clinging here to the side of a rock.
Yeah, and this is perfidus.
At last, I've been looking for it. This is called the truffle of the sea, and it has this incredibly strong, peppery, salty flavour. If you just take a little bit at the end.
Right. Like that bit there. Okay, so I probably pulled off a little too much there now.
And then taste that. You see, it's crunchy.
Mmm. And there's a tang of pepper. It really comes through.
It's pure pepper, isn't it?
Wow.
It's extraordinary. It's a beautiful, beautiful flavour. And it's a very small seaweed. It grows, actually, I often pick that around January, February, so it's a lovely winter one to get. It's very, very good for you. And it's the flavour is just unreal, isn't it? It's just pure pepper.
You put it in your mouth, and again, the first thing you taste is the sea, the saline sea, and then you're thinking, oh, this is a little bit crunchy and kind of like a samphire, you know, in that kind of crunchy way. And then you just get this hit of flavour, and it's such an unusual flavour. You're thinking, I can't believe I'm standing here eating seaweed. No. It doesn't taste like seaweed.
And if you put that into fish cakes, actually, that's what I love it with. You just put mashed potato. Seaweed goes really well with mashed potato. So you put a bit of any white fish and loads of peppadulse. And it's just fantastic. It's a lovely, lovely seaweed. And what I do with peppadulse is in January, I would pick it and I dry it, completely dry, and then I pulp it to a powder. And it is like an alternative to pepper. And it is lovely. Now, if you roast a bit of shellfish and just sprinkle dried peppadulse on it, it's just takes it to a different league altogether.
I love the way that you're talking about the seaweeds as something that you can use with things that come from nearby, obviously like the sea, the seafood, the fish and the shellfish, but also in ways that you'd never think of. Those scones, cherry scones that you mentioned with the dulse, is it?
Cherry scones I use with kelp. Dulse would also work very well, but I tend to like dulse with I would make cheese scones, cheese and chive and dulse scones. It is lovely. But the kelp... Kelp is one of the things I would put into sweet seaweeds because it gives it that sort of rich background flavour rather than a strength in itself, whereas something like dillisk is quite a strong flavoured seaweed in itself. So I tend to use dillisk in ordinary bread baking, and I would use kelp in sweet things and in soups and in casseroles as well, something where you just want something, a flavour in the background just to amplify everything. It has this magical ingredient in it, which is actually glutamate. And glutamate is what is in the so-called fifth taste of umami. And that was a taste that was discovered by a Japanese chemist 200 years ago. And he discovered it and described it as umami, delicious taste. But nobody took a lot of notice until 100 years later when they discovered that we actually have taste receptors in our mouth and in our stomach, which identify this lovely taste, which is found. It was first found in seaweed. It's now also found in tomatoes, parmesan cheese, steak. It's been described as being found in different things, but it comes from seaweed and it's caused by glutamate, which is what seaweed is full of it. So that's why seaweed gives, whatever you put it with, it gives it this fantastic taste.
For more on foraging seaweed and making those cherry and kelp scones, Sally McKenna's book Extreme Greens, Understanding Seaweeds is out now. And you might also want to have a look at Pranny Rattigan's Irish Seaweed Kitchen, which is available online. And next time on Culture File, we'll still be chomping at the littoral when we meet the queen of the oyster blogging scene. What's that you say? Yes, silly. Of course there's an oyster blogging scene.